はじめまして。私はキムリです。10歳です。1歳から日本語が勉してます。
So, when should you start a business? After college? After high school? How about elementary school?
And now, it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no others with Tim and Scott.
Oh, Scott, I am so just beside myself for this show today. This is just incredible. We have a 10-year-old on our show today. I'm not going to say anymore.
Kids rule.
You got to stay tuned and find out why Scott and I are just super, super excited about our guest today. First, we want to hear Scott tell us about what's coming up in our show from our awesome sponsors, Advancement Courses. Scotty?
Yeah, we just did want to thank you, give a big thank you to Advancement Courses for sponsoring today's show. Stay tuned at the end of the show to learn how to get 20% off online professional development, Tim. And we're also going to have another special code from one entrepreneur that's joining us today as well, right? If they stick with us.
That's right. We have Kemri today with us from Kemri Creates. She is an entrepreneur at the age of 10. She has her own business. She's written a book. She does speaking engagements. I just found out before we started the show that she's training right now to be in her fifth triathlon. Is that right, Kemri?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I've only been in zero triathlons. And I've had
you and me both, Tim.
Oh, Kemri, tell us a little bit more about yourself. What else are you into?
If we're speaking hobbies, I play instruments.
Oh, my goodness.
I play the piano and the ukulele and the harmonica, but mostly just the ukulele right now.
That's very awesome. Cool. Do you play sports as well?
Yes. I don't really play sports now, besides, like, training and stuff, but that's not really active right now. I used to play soccer and dance and cheer and stuff like that. I also swam.
I don't know.
And I like to read and play with my baby brother as well.
And you skipped second grade?
Yes.
Wow. I am just amazed. All right, so why don't you tell us, first of all, your story. How did this all get started? Let our listeners know what you're all about. I mean, this started at 13 months old, your journey. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what happened?
So when I was 13 months old, my mom wanted me to learn French. And the school she wanted to put me in said either you have to learn Chinese and Spanish or French and Japanese. So we went with French and Japanese. And since Japanese is a Category 4 language, when it came time to choose between which languages I would be learning, which language I would be moving forward with, we decided to choose Japanese. We, as in my parents. I didn't have any part in this because I was a baby.
And so parlez-vous français?
No.
Okay. So you started learning Japanese?
Yes.
And did you end up actually learning it? Can you count to 10 in Japanese? Or how much Japanese do you know, Kemri?
はじめまして。私はケムリです。10歳です。1歳から日本語が勉してます。私の会社員はケムリクリエイツです。6年生です。どうぞよろしく。And I just introduced myself in Japanese. I'm pretty fluent, I think. Maybe first or second grade level.
よろしくお願いします。
よろしく。
I feel like a third wheel right now. I don't know any Japanese, except the Japanese that Scott taught me when he came back from Japan.
Oh my gosh, you were in Japan?
I was very fortunate to be chosen as a visiting educator and got to tour all over Japan. It was a life-changing moment for sure, or a life-changing trip for sure.
Look at her face.
So you start learning Japanese at how old were you when you started doing this?
I started learning at 13 months. Mom may or may not know when I started showing that I knew Japanese. I think the first time that I was learning was when my Japanese teacher would say, put up your bag, and I would walk it over to the little post where I would hang up my bag.
Wow. I'm just going to make a comment on education in America to you both, is that I think we wait way too long to start teaching foreign language to kids. And to do that so young was just brilliant of your parents, in my opinion.
I agree, because the longer you take to learn a language, or really anything, but mostly languages, the closer you are to the time, which is around age 11, where your portal starts closing up, and it makes it harder for you to learn languages. Mm.
So as a result of you learning Japanese, is that what inspired you to start your website, your business and everything? And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about what you do in terms of your entrepreneurship?
Okay. Once I started learning Japanese, I did that for I've been learning Japanese for 9 years. But when I was 8 years old, my Japanese teacher invited me on a trip to Japan. And later on, my parents told me that we didn't have enough money to go. And I was, like, devastated because I really wanted to go to Japan. I mean, if you've been learning all your life, that's kind of what you want to do, is to go and test out your skills. So I woke up early one morning and I said, Mom, I want to work from home today. I want to work on my logo, my business plan, and my business cards. Now, I had no idea I wouldn't be able to do all of that in a day, but it got done eventually.
And then what did you do?
Then I started my business, Kemri Creates, which started out with leather bracelets custom engraved in Japanese with your name, or other words like faith, hope, peace, things like that. And then I moved on, did other sorts of jewelry, like I have earrings. But then we started a clothing line. I started a clothing line, not we. I started a clothing line, which was later featured on Atlantic City Fashion Week. And then I wrote a book.
You're wearing one of your own personally designed pieces of clothing, aren't you? Why don't you describe that? Since nobody can see it on our podcast, describe what it looks like.
Well, I'm not going to go into too much detail because we don't have a lot of time, but it's purple and it's designed to look like a kimono without all the hassle of putting it on. It's a t-shirt. I also sew, but this is one of the designs that we had a manufacturer make.
Very cool.
And you sell your clothing online, is that right?
I do, yes.
And are people buying it?
That's not our main focus, so we've kind of shifted, refocused.
Okay, so the clothing has kind of fallen by the wayside. What are you focusing on now?
So after I started my clothing line, I wrote a chapter in the book, The Science Behind It, Formulating Success at Any Age. And then I started teaching Japanese courses online.
And like, I think what's really neat about this is that a lot of times adults think of the limitations of kids. And I think what's so powerful about your story, Kemri, is that's not what you've focused on. And that's not what your parents have focused on. They've focused on the strengths and what you can do rather than what you can't do and how to fix those problems, I guess, you know. And I think that's also a great lesson for us as educators to stay focused on those strengths and how we can empower our students to do things like you're doing, and not to not be afraid or not wait to go after something, but to actually jump in. What else would you say to like teachers out there about, you know, how they believe in their students?
My advice is to not only see their strengths, but also see what you can help them with, so that you can improve all aspects of them. And another piece of advice is not to overwork them, because you don't want to go home burned out from your school day and then be sitting at your desk at home with some more work to do. You want the child to feel like they didn't learn too much. They learned a lot, but not too much. My school is an Acton Academy. It's a student-based learning environment where it's really independent. You manage your own time. And I think it's been really helpful to teach us time management skills, because when we get to college, we're going to need to know that stuff. It's going to be a lot less, I guess, structured. Maybe not structured. Okay. So, but my school, they helped me with my business by, they're already a really entrepreneurial school, I should say. A lot of my friends are entrepreneurs. A lot of my friends are entrepreneurs, and we go to markets together. They host a market twice a year, I think. And we have a lot of fun there. We sell our products. And I love how before the vending sessions, before the market opens, you go around and everybody gets to see everybody else's business. Because I kind of really hate those days where I do the vending and then I don't get to see the person next to me. I don't get to buy anything from them with some of the money that I've earned.
Camry, it sounds like your school has limited the amount of work that they're giving to you, which then frees you up to do your own, pursue your own passions and do something creative on your own. Is that right?
Yes. They believe in doing all work during the school day, so that you don't have to do any homework, because that leaves you time for extracurricular activities, and then not to go to bed at like 11 because you were just at soccer practice and now you have to come home and do some homework and then get ready for bed like you have to do every night.
Yeah, you're talking to two teachers that really believe in lack of homework. So.
Yeah, my school has a no homework policy. And we want our I know, right? And, we want our students to have a true balance in their life and be able to pursue those passions and not be burnt out, and give them a chance to really let what they've learned in the day have time to process in the evenings, and time with their family and friends and, you know, those just that balance in life, which that's awesome to hear that there's other schools across the nation that are seeing that as well. And Tim and I don't know if you know this, but Tim and I and a good group of our friends, we started something called Global School Play Day to say to all the schools out there, hey, just put pause on for one day and we're just going to play. And it's going to be all student-led, unstructured. Teachers are just going to be monitoring for safety and those things. But the kids get to lead that whole day of play, hoping that more and more schools out there will shift on their thinking on how much time they're taking up for kids at home with all the assignments and things like that.
That's really cool. And I think the Global School Play Day thing is really awesome. And it's a great idea, because if you're working all the time, then you never really have time to relax. And I don't know if you've read A Mind for Numbers by Barbara Oakley.
I haven't read that.
Well, it says that you need to get out of your focused mindset and into your diffused mindset. And you can do that by just playing, meditating, doing a sport, running around, and things like that, which you can't really do at a desk.
I've got a book recommendation now, Tim.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So tell us a little bit more about your book. What did you say? What types of things do you give people? What kind of advice do you give people in your book?
Well, I'm not going to give it all away because I still want you to read my book, but it's a question and answer where I basically just kind of talk about how I started the business and then give advice and things to do and not to do when you're starting a business, when you're running a business, or just if you want to be successful.
Oh, very cool.
There's also 25 other young entrepreneurs. Yeah, everybody has a chapter. Another thing I wanted to say about my school, they have an apprenticeship program where every year you have to do an apprenticeship. Well, no, I'm not going to say you have to do an apprenticeship. You get to do an apprenticeship. And you have to pitch the apprenticeship, and it takes you through all the steps of getting an apprenticeship. And that will help prepare you for a career, a possible future career.
We have some guests coming on soon that are going to talk about the importance of apprenticeships. So that's great to hear that that's happening at your school as well.
Camry, explain to us how you're teaching people Japanese. What does that mean that you're teaching people Japanese?
Okay, so we're not guaranteeing fluency or anything like that. That's kind of hard to do online through videos. I teach them through small video snippets of vocabulary, words or phrases. And, well, yeah, there's also fun games and activities. And if you sign up for the course, we also have an exclusive Facebook group to post questions, ask about pronunciation, and to show off your work and celebrate progress. We also have Facebook Lives with me at least 2 times a month. We also have virtual field trips. Some of the virtual field trips we've done are my trip to New York City. We hosted a Terry Blossom Festival. I can't really say hosted, it was just me. But we held a Cherry Blossom Festival, and we wanted to do a virtual field trip in Japan, but we have work to do before we can do that.
That costs a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you trying to raise the money right now to make it over to Japan?
Yes. We still haven't been since I was, well, no, we've never been.
Well, let's hope that somehow from today you get a little help towards that goal for sure.
And, you know, I understand that Oprah watches or listens to our podcast, and your last name is Opara, isn't that right?
Yes.
So that's really close to
Oprah. Oh, my gosh. Oprah.
I think Oprah should have you on her show, don't you? Since your name is almost Oprah.
That would be funny. Oprah and Opara.
Yeah. All right. So you've got something big going on this summer too, right?
I have a lot of big stuff going on. I have to figure out which big thing it is. Okay. So the first ever Raising a Mogul Family Business Summit will be held in Atlanta from June 27th to the 30th. Raising a Mogul is a community who's been a big, big help to us. We met them at a pitch contest, Toffee International. I think that was in 2017.
Yes.
Wow, that was all the way in 2017. And since then, they've been helping us. It's run by Xandra Cunningham, Xandra Cunningham and her mom, Tamara Zantel. And, well, Miss Tamara is my mom and all the parents' mentor. And then Xandra comes in and gives little snippets for us, too.
Camry, I understand that you're affiliated with someone that my brother is also affiliated with here. Skype? You're involved with Skype?
Yes. I'm a Microsoft Skype in the Classroom teacher. And if there are any other teachers listening, which I assume there are because this is the Bedley Brothers, but...
All teachers are listening to this.
Okay, well, then you, listeners who are teachers, you can invite me to teach in your classroom. I will gladly do so.
And what are you going to teach their class?
I could teach either on the topics of entrepreneurship or language.
Camry?
Yeah.
I would like you to teach my class.
Okay. Fine. Yes, sure.
You got two new customers here for your teaching career. I love it. Well,
I'm a big fan of Skype. I think it's a fantastic platform, and it's a great way to bring your class out to the world or bring the world to your class.
I agree.
Yeah.
How did Skype find you, or Microsoft? I mean, or how did you get associated with them? Did you have to take a test or apply? Or I'm just trying to picture this process when you're 10 years old.
Mom's over here pointing to herself like, yes, because mom does that kind of stuff. She looks for stuff, and then I do the stuff. So, come here, mom.
She's got to get her mom in there. Yeah, that's good.
So,
behind mom. Every, your 10-year-old is a mother.
I reached out to them when they had their Skype-a-thon.
Oh, yeah.
And we couldn't make it. That's when we first learned about Skype in the classroom. It was maybe a week away, and we weren't able to get connected that quickly. So I was looking for other ways to get connected in the future, and we came across Skype in the classroom. So I reached out to them to see if she could do it, and initially was told no because she was too young. And I had to assure them that I would always be there and available during every meeting, and she wouldn't be alone.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, mom wouldn't just like sit in front of a computer and be like, here, teach.
Yes.
Then go like, I don't know.
And then they were super happy to have her.
Yeah, that's great. That's good news.
Skype teacher in the classroom?
What's
that? I should ask the question. I wonder if you're the youngest.
Maybe.
Yeah, I bet you are. Can't imagine any 9-year-olds out there that are All right, Emery. Well, we're going to switch gears with you right now. We're going to play a little quiz game. And from what I understand, you listened to our podcast. You heard Sharon Draper on our show, right? Aren't you a big Sharon Draper fan?
Yes.
How does that feel? You're on the same podcast as Sharon Draper.
Yes. I was actually thinking about that before we started. I read Out of My Mind probably more than any of the other books under my bed. I have a library under my bed. It's a loft bed. It's not like I keep books underneath the bed.
You know what, Cameron? I was so lucky. I went to this teacher conference in Houston back in November, and I'm in this hotel, and I look up the escalator, and coming down by herself on this escalator...
Look at her.
Is none other than Dr. Sharon M. Draper coming down, and I started like jumping for joy. I was like, she's descending down, and I was like,
don't jump for joy. Over.
Oh my gosh! And she couldn't be more of an authentic, beautiful person. I hope if you haven't met her yet, that somehow you get a chance to meet her soon, because she is such a wonderful person. And that's one of my favorite books too, Out of My Mind.
Thank you. I hope the same thing.
As you were telling that story, I'm thinking, you know, if Sharon Draper could somehow meet Kemri, she would be better off. She would be blessed, man. Okay. So anyway, we're going to play a little game with you. We know you're into Japan and you want to go to Japan, and our listeners are going to send you to Japan. We know that. So we're going to call our little game that we're going to play with you today, Japan Can and So Can You.
Okay. I like this game already.
A really dumb name, but, you know, that's okay. We'll have fun with it. So, Scott, why don't you tell our audience who Kemri is going to be competing for today?
Kemri, you're going to be competing for Amanda Renard, a third grade teacher in Zionsville, Indiana. If you're able to answer two out of the three questions correctly, And Amanda is going to be awarded what? A free download of an album of the ridiculously popular edgy rock band Rockin' the Standards.
No, she's not.
She's not getting that. Well, she can have that.
She's Kemri, tell her what she's going to get if you're able to answer 2 out of 3 correctly.
So you will win 1 book, The Science Behind It, Formulating Success at Any Age. You'll get a copy of that. And then also 1 year subscription to Japanese Lunchbox. So the prize value is
$79.99. Oh, my goodness.
It's a lot more than an album. Okay. So here we go with our first question for you, Kemri. Japan contains many small islands called an archipelago. Have you heard of an archipelago before?
No, I've never heard of an archipelago.
Yeah, that's a bunch of little islands. They have it coming off that tail of Alaska, you know, sticking out into the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, so, okay.
Question for you is this. How many islands are found in Japan? Is it A?
6,800-ish.
Or is it B?
1.
Or is it C?
1,000,000.
Okay, so which one do you think it is? A, 6,800, B, 1 island, or C, 1,000,000 islands?
You know, I'm probably going to have to go with, I'm not going to say the number because I forgot, but A.
A, 6,800, that is correct!
Yay!
Yeah, okay, question number 2. Japan is, of course, known for its raw fish or sushi, right? Do you like sushi?
Yes. Well, I like California rolls. I've never actually had it raw, but yeah, I'm sure that's an experience I'll get to have one day.
You're the first guest we've had on our show that's not old enough to eat raw fish. Okay, so what other raw meat do Japanese citizens love to eat? Is it A?
Squirrel.
Is it B?
Horse.
Or is it C?
Unicorn.
So, believe it or not, Japanese like to eat either squirrel, horse, or unicorn meat. Which one do you think it is?
Okay, well, I wouldn't be okay with them eating horses or unicorns, but I mean, it might be one of those. I have this theory that unicorns exist, but they're so good at hiding that no one's ever seen them.
I think you're right. So which one do you think it is?
I'm debating between horse and squirrel. And I'm probably going to say squirrel.
Well, believe it or not, they like to eat raw horse in Japan.
Oh. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I can't imagine eating raw horse. It seems like it would make you sick or something. But of course,
raw fish. Terrible. I wouldn't be fine with eating raw horse or cooked horse. I love horses.
Yeah.
I want to fact check that one. I didn't see any raw horse on the menus when I was over there.
Okay. So question number 3, Kemri. In Japan, there is something women think makes them beautiful that women in America would find to be not so beautiful. What is this thing that women in Japan find to be beautiful? Is it A?
Very small lips.
Is it B?
Crooked teeth.
Or is it C?
Bulging stomachs.
What do you think? So either very small lips, crooked teeth, or a bulging stomach, women in Japan.
I read this somewhere. I read a lot of articles about Japanese culture, and I read this. It's B, right?
Look at that. You're studying on the big third question. Scott, how did Kemri do today?
Good job, Kemri. You got 2 out of 3 correct, and that's good enough to be a winner. Woo! You've won nothing, though, right? But Amanda, a third grade teacher in Indiana, just won an amazing prize package from you. Thank you so much for giving that to this teacher out there that's trying to give her heart out to her students.
All right. Kemri, before we wrap it up with you, we're going to hear this word from our sponsor. Start planning your summer professional development with Advancement Courses. They offer over 200 online graduate level PD courses in 19 different subject areas for K-12 teachers just like us. And because they're online and self-paced, you can take them anywhere, anytime, with up to 6 months to complete them. The courses are available for graduate credit through CAEP and regionally accredited university partners, or for continuing education units that meet your state requirements.
Tim, they're a terrific way to get your summer PD done, and the courses really focus on creating practical products you can use in your classroom the next day or the next school day. Right now, our listeners can save 20% off each course with the code BROS20, that's capital B-R-O-S, then the number 20. That's just $120 per graduate credit hour, or $160 for 50 clock hours. So go to advancementcourses.com/Bedley to learn more and use the coupon code BROS20. Get started on your summer PD today. Talk about time management, Tim. Hey, teachers, get that PD done before summer starts.
And Kemri, I'm sure you're going to be managing your time very well. I can already see that you're a super advanced, mature young lady. And why don't you tell our listeners how they can follow up and get your book and go to your website. And I understand you got all kinds of social media stuff going on. Let our listeners know how to get there.
Okay, so you can find me at JapaneseCircleTime.com. My social media handle is at KemeryKreates on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and the Convos app. Also, all viewers get 1 month free if you type in the promo code BedleyEdChat. So that's BedleyEdChat.
Wow, that's nice.
Sweet.
Free month for our listeners.
I'm on it, Tim. Are we allowed to do that too?
Yeah, sure.
Woo! My 8-year-old son will love it.
Kemri, I'm going to ask you one last question before we sign off. What do you wish that all your teachers in the future would know about you? If you could finish the sentence, I wish my teachers understood about you, what would it be?
Okay, so this might seem like a really simple thing, but it means a lot to me when teachers look up why stuff works ahead of class, so that when I ask why, they're not like, huh, I don't know. It's like they can tell you that it works, and they can kind of sometimes tell you how it works, but I like to know why it works too, and I like to be able to work it out. Like, before I knew long division, I would work it out by doing like subtraction and stuff like that, just so I can know how it works.
You are one of a kind, Kimberly. You are awesome. All right. Well, I don't know about Scott, but I am feeling like we need to check in with you maybe in a year or so and get you back on the show if you're willing to, because by then you'll probably be way too famous. You'd be like, nah, I don't have time for the Bedley Brothers.
No, I would never say, nah, I don't have time for the Bedley Brothers. That's like not something I would say.
Okay, so we're getting equipment from you now. We'll check back in with you and let our listeners know what's going on with you and how all the great things that you're doing to change the world. You're never too young to change the world, right, Kemri?
That's right.
Bedley Brothers. All right, so thank you for listening, everybody. But most of all, thank you for listening.
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad.
Big Ron here. Dinner done. Think I might change my name to Ron Bedley so I could be one of those Bedley Brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bedley Brothers. Bedley, Bedley Brothers. Bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers.